Pick the Nintendo Shack and pray. Frederick from Fire Emblem Awakening says, yo.
Greetings, Koopalings! Welcome to this week's episode of the Nintendo Shack Podcast Delay Season. It is December, finally, somehow. We have got news about a game coming to Nintendo Switch Online. We have news about some delays to the Switch. We have some news about JRPG titles coming to the Switch. And most importantly, we have tons of listener questions to answer today. How are you doing, Garrett? How are you doing, Elaine?
Well, I spilled my tea, and I've been awake for the past 12 to 15 hours. I'm not sure. I'm doing fine. How about you guys?
I mean,
it's
look,
one of those days.
I got about 4 hours of sleep last night, too. So I'm feeling
nice.
Some kind of way. This is decaf, because I think if I drink all the caffeine, I'll have to pee, and that just will go poorly.
and your heart will explode, probably.
I'm up there
decided.
Today.
I decided to make a coffee as I'm finishing typing up the show notes. I'm like, I need this to get through. I planned to have it take me through the show, but there was no coffee in front of me because I chugged all of that. So it is gone.
Big move.
Wow.
Anything can happen during this show.
Yeah, I've still got the leftovers. Like, I exercised right before this, and I have the leftovers of my exercise beverage. So I could maybe be able to see sounds.
Go crazy.
Yeah, that's fine. It'll be fine.
So we are sleep deprived, we are caffeinated, spilling tea, chugging coffee.
Yeah,
we
buddy.
Are yes. So this is going to be
We're
a really
everything.
Good show.
Yes, these are always the best shows when everybody's slightly on the edge of delirious and everything is
absolutely
not fine. Yeah, this is going to be
absolutely. Before we get into what we've been playing in this week's news, Garrett, why don't you thank our live on air producers the way we do each and every week?
Yes, thank you, Evan Callow, Chris M. Devin Tyus, Horsegirl69,
nice.
Joe Wilson, Josh Barboni, Kyle Heyman, Nick Creature, Paul Calico, RJ Kern, Stephen Keller, Zach Adams, Chucker Sloth, and Michael Taylor. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Woo!
So much. Super appreciated. Man, I have not been playing a whole lot of stuff, to be honest with you. Like, most nights I'll log on to Animal Crossing and do my dailies. I'm still kind of on that grind, but other than that, I really haven't been into games too much this week. I'm kind of taking a slower week, I think. I still want to get back into Chrono Cross with the rumor imminent, I think, for possibly this weekend. Mm. There's some kind of tease with the mobile game Another Eden and how they're doing a collaboration with Square Enix. And the teaser image showed a pocket watch underwater. So if you didn't believe those Chrono Cross rumors last week, tune into that event on Saturday. But I do want to jump back into that game next week. I probably will over the next couple days, but I really haven't been playing much. Just been busy with work and life and things, so I don't know. What have you been up to, Elaine?
I rearranged my entire basement. I don't remember if I had done that before this show last week or not, but the
you
basement...
Did.
I did. Okay, cool.
Did you rearrange it the second time?
I got
time?
A new desk, so now I've
got
upped
a new desk,
the ante
yes.
a second time. So now we've got the better angles and the more space, and it's very spacious. Plenty of room for activities.
Is it L? Is it an L desk?
It is.
Right?
It was a corner desk that was crappy
so nice.
From IKEA. Now I have a full L, and it's got sick lighting under the monitors. It's real dumb.
Excellent.
Very excited. You guys would be proud, though. I am nearing the end of Metroid Dread.
Yes!
I'm like in the last like chunk. Less than 25%. I have a few upgrades left to pick up. I checked the walkthrough for the titles real quick just to see where I was at. And then I probably have a couple more bosses to fight. I'm fighting a very annoying beetle thing at the moment.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about. A lot of jumping back and forth.
Electric beetle boogaloo. I hate it so much. I'm so mad at it. There was cursing the other night. There was language.
Well, I don't want to discourage you, but be prepared to do a lot more cursing before you
I'm ready.
The credits.
I'm ready.
Just set your mind to
it's
it.
It's gonna get
right
done.
Now.
I'm gonna finish it. That's gonna happen. So
that was one thing about that game. I feel like every time I thought like, oh yeah, I'm right near the final boss, there was more and more and more, and I'm like, oh my god, there's another item. Oh my god, there's another item.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My it's funny because I've been more efficient than I think I realized in this game, because I was looking at my save file time and I'm under 5 hours and I'm at the electric beetle. So I've been hauling it, and I didn't really realize that I've been going so quick. Now, granted, that doesn't keep in. I don't think that takes into account when you die.
Yeah, it doesn't. Just the last boss attempt.
And over. Mm-hmm. And over. Yeah. There have been some. I've had some moments. Okay.
A lot of deaths.
Yeah, I think my final time said 9 hours and something, or close to 10 hours, but my Switch. Mm-hmm. Like time says over 20 hours.
That sounds about right. There's,
it's probably double. Sense. So if you have 5, you're probably at like 10, unless you're a lot better than me.
I've only really gotten hung up on some of the bosses. Like there was one that really, like, for some reason, it wasn't that difficult. It just could not. The one where you're underwater and draining the water.
Oh, like, I love that boss. That's my favorite.
I ended up liking it once I got like the cadence of that fight down.
There are a few phases.
There was some weird timing on that one, but I'm really enjoying this game. Like, I'm super happy. It might be my favorite game this year. It's definitely up there. So,
wow.
It's good. It's so good. Yay. I've been having a really good time with that. And Pokemon is being played behind me right now by someone else. And I started Pokemon, and I'm being taunted by small children who have already finished Pokemon. My life is pain. So, this child finished Pokemon. 12-year-olds can finish Pokemon in 3 days, apparently.
Are they min-maxing their Pokemon?
I think
Are they doing all the things?
I think he probably is. And he's already, like, hunting.
Shiny hunting?
He's not shiny hunting, but he's, like, capturing the last of the legendaries or something, I think. Look, this kid is clearly better at Pokemon than me, and I'm feeling some kind of way about it. So, you know. But
how old is he?
12.
Oh, no. Oh, 12 years
old.
They
have so much free
time. Like
what do you do all day?
Yeah, I know, 12, right?
Prime Pokemon time.
For God's sake, I'm just going to...
They don't know. They're just so innocent. And they just have so much
time.
That
child is so nice, though, that like he was down here hanging out with me while I worked the other day. And he like played Fortnite on my account to level up my battle pass. Like, these kids are all right. All the kids who live in my house right now are great.
Nice.
All four of them. They're great. So that's been happening. That's about it. What about you, Garrett?
Cool. I've been playing Shin Megami Tensei 5 whenever I can, and dying a lot.
That sounds right.
Too. This game is brutal. it's just every time I play sometimes before I go to work in the morning, and I'm like, why am I doing this to myself? Why am I punishing myself before I even go to work?
You're starting yourself on a stressful note every day.
Yeah, you're waking up to pain. Why would you do this? Have coffee. Enjoy your life. Like,
hey,
why,
no
why?
Pain, no gain. I enjoy one cup of coffee while I do this.
Hey, if you start your day with the most frustrating, stressful thing, it can only be downhill from there.
He is also writing a thesis. I feel like there's competition for the worst.
It's
right
kinda
now.
Yeah. It's kinda equal right now, yeah.
Oh goodness.
It's kinda on the same level. But no, it's been good. I'm about 14 hours into the game. Playing on normal. It's been totally fine with me. Of course I died a couple times, but that's just because I'm stupid, and I go to a random area, and then they just one-hit my main character.
Yep.
And I'm like, I know exactly what went wrong here, so.
No.
Anyways, sometimes these monsters, they're like thugs. They, like, encounter you in a turn-based battle, right? And then, out of nowhere, they're like, oh, we're gonna attack you, or we can, like, take all your money, or take all of your MP. And it's like, your money is very important in this game. You have to get, you know, healing items and heal your party and whatever. And so when I encounter these, I'm like, no, of course I'm not going to give you money. It's like, okay, I'm going to destroy you in this battle then. And it just goes through that turn base. And I'm just like, oh my goodness.
I love it.
So,
I love it.
Pick the lesser of two evils.
Yep. I'm so glad you're having fun.
Pretty much. but guys, I really am having fun. I know I complain a lot.
It doesn't sound like it, but trust me.
It doesn't. It's...
Trust me. It's okay. I don't know if you guys want to dive into this too much, but I want to do mention about the Fantasy Critic League stuff that we're doing at PSVG.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about it.
Sure. So I don't have the current standings brought up. For anyone that doesn't know what Fantasy Critic League is, it's basically like Fantasy Football League, but for video games. And so every year, what we do is we gather a group of us at PSVG, and we draft certain games throughout the year that's going to be released. So for the year 2021, in the beginning, about half our games were picked, and then throughout the year, we bid on new games as they come along in the year. And basically how you get points is on the open critic score. And so if it's above a 70, you get positive points. Below 70, you get negative points. And then you have to counterpick one game. So one game you think is going to do bad. And it will be like an opposite scoring for you. We had a pretty fun round this year. I think
this was so
really
intense. I had so much fun with it.
So, Rebecca was up there for a good while.
Man, I would have been in the running to win. Honestly, you can vouch for this, Garrett. Had I not made a horrible mistake at the very end. So I was doing really great. I had great stuff on my league. Like I had Super Mario 3D World, which scored an 89. I got 19 points for that. I had Persona 5 Strikers. I had Tales of Arise. I had Alan Wake Remastered, which got me 10 points. Wow. Like I had some really good games on my list this year. And I had a couple slots left that I hadn't finished. Like you get so many games that you can pick. What do we have, like 10 or 11 or something like that, and I'm like, I need to get a couple more games on my list, and it's like September, October. I'm like, I gotta fill this. My options were limited, and so I ended up taking Grand Theft Auto, the trilogy, honey. The Definitive Edition, because I said all three of these games were fantastic masterpieces when they released. How bad can a remaster be? Like, maybe it will score 75 at worst. Maybe I will get like only 5 points. It's better than 0 points. I got negative 13 points on that one. An open critic score of 53.
It was...
Ouch.
It was, and there was just a patch release this week, I think, or is about to come out with 117 bug fixes. Sorry, Bex.
If they had done that before it released.
Right, which they should have. And I said this on PSVG. I went on a mini rant about how they just hold it for a month. I'm so sorry. You got killed.
Yeah.
But anyway, Garrett is probably going to win. He is in first place right now.
Two-time champion now.
Oh, God.
Just letting you know.
You had games like...
Let the bragging rights.
Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. You had Monster Hunter Rise. You had Shin Megami Tensei. You had... Oh, my God. So many. Your worst game was Mario Golf Super Rush, which scored 1 point.
Yes.
Wow.
Which scored 1 point.
So you lost no points.
But you didn't lose any points.
I didn't, I didn't play it this year. I just enjoy watching this from a distance. It's just fun for me. So...
And then I predicted Pokemon Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl before it got announced, and Metroid Dread.
Yeah, you picked up in. Unannounced Pokemon Remake and unannounced 2D Metroid
before E3,
which is a risk. It's a risk. Yep. If those games hadn't been announced and released, you wouldn't get points for them.
I would drop that out and try to pick other games. But yeah, I was lucky to get those two. And Yarden, who is also in close competition with us, is probably going to get second place. And he did a pretty good job.
He did really good.
Of snagging Hades
on
Xbox and PlayStation. Yep.
It counts because the console version released this year.
So that
scored him 28 points.
Wow. That game is exceptional.
Yeah.
Because it got a 94.
That got him pretty well. So we've had a lot of fun with this.
It's
bet a little bit of money for this year, just $20, and we're going to distribute that out for the top three places by the end of the year.
Ooh, I didn't know that part.
Top three places get money.
I hope I get third.
You'll get your money back, basically. So we are thinking about, you know, of course, next year's coming up. We got a month until 2022. Can you guys believe that? It's just freaking crazy. What we think is we're still going to keep the squad tight for the Fantasy Critic League. But if you guys are interested, remotely interested in joining our league, first off, I think you got to be a patron. I think at least $1 a month gets you the Discord tag.
I believe that's true.
And so you got to have Discord. You got to have a $1 patron level. At least for January, if you like decide to drop out, it's like, we're not going to drop you out of the fantasy league if you drop out after a month, I guess. But at least for January, to be even considered for next year. And let me tell you, I already have a list going. I have a backup list going. It's going to be a serious ride next year. So if you guys are interested, Be a patron, be a and pay attention to the Discord. We're gonna be tagging people on the Patreon Battle Pass channel and whatnot. So I think it's gonna be a good time next year. I think we have a lot of good games next year.
Didn't last year we didn't we stream our draft that we were all on a voice call and we were drafting
on a voice call together, but we did not
stream it. Oh, I thought we did. We should do that this year.
That would be fun. I want to listen to that.
We could do that this year, depending on when we'll do this.
Yeah.
Maybe like early January, first or second week of January. So just letting everyone know, if you guys are interested in a little bit of competition.
It's fun. I get really serious about it. So if you want to see my competitive side.
I love it.
I was like almost setting up negotiations like, hey, you should drop this game so I can pick it up.
Oh my God.
Pretty much. So that's been a ride. But yeah, that's Fantasy Critic League for you. And then
Elaine, you should do it with us.
I'm thinking about it.
Yes,
we'll see.
Elaine, do it.
We'll see. I'm thinking about it. Giving it thoughts.
$20.
Oh no.
All right. Anything else to add, Garrett?
That's pretty much it.
Yes. All right. So moving on to this week in Nintendo. Earlier this evening, just before the show started, we had some news drop regarding Paper Mario is going to be the first game added to the Nintendo Switch Online expansion pack service. This was the first game in the Paper Mario series, originally released back in 2000. It'll be added to the service on December 10th if you have that expansion pack. Nintendo may be adding one Nintendo 64 game per month to the service. They released the whole service at the end of October. It's been roughly a month. No new Genesis games. I thought that maybe they would release one in one. Doesn't seem to be the case. Who knows what their release schedule is going to be like, but I don't know. Paper Mario, hype or not hype?
I love Paper Mario. Cool. This is one of my favorite N64 games. I bought one of the N64 controllers when Nintendo was selling them for the Switch, the wireless ones. I will bust that out of the box just to play this. I really love this Paper Mario game. So I'm excited. I have never played this.
So I'm excited to try it. I'm definitely going to jump into this and see, you know, I don't know if I'll play it all the way through, but I definitely want to get a feel for it and what it was like.
It's a great game. It really is. I think it still holds up too. I really do.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Cool.
Yeah. What do you think?
One valuable game.
I was going to say, so when we had the Super Nintendo and NES games added, it was two or three or four at a time. What do you think of this one per month, maybe?
This is a little bit of a bummer. I was kind of hoping they would give us more like a chunk of them at a time, especially with how much they're charging for this, which we've discussed to death. But like, I was hoping for more than one. If you're going to do just one, this is a great just one to start
with. Yeah.
I'm liking the more quality one game a month type of deal than four games. I have no clue. Oh yeah, Donkey Kong Country's there. And that's pretty much
it. Do you think the justification is these are longer games?
I think they're more important games, not longer games.
Maybe. Yeah. This was the start of something huge for RPGs for Nintendo, like first party. Like this particular game, like there's so many games bumped off of this thing for GBA and then other consoles. Like this one's a big deal. So I don't know. I'm glad to see it before the end of the year. I'm glad to see it so soon. I'm excited. I love this game. Love this game. So
yeah, I think this was definitely a good first one for them to add. Before we go to the next topic, I wanted to answer a listener question from Kevin, Miami Advantage. He wanted us to talk about the news that dropped a couple weeks ago that we did not discuss because I didn't actually see this news. So GoldenEye 007 for the N64 was recently removed from the list of media harmful to young persons in Germany. I didn't know this existed. So games that are deemed harmful automatically get unbanned after 25 years without any cost associated. The catch here is that GoldenEye 007 released 24 years ago, and for it to get unbanned before that 25-year period, the developers have to pay a fee. Does this suggest that Nintendo's planning a Switch Online release of this game earlier than that 25-year cutoff?
I don't know. This one's been really, really hard for a really, really long time. It never made any of the virtual console stuff. It's always been, I think, a licensing nightmare. I really do, because there's like a movie license associated, and like it's Bond and then other companies. It's a mess. So I want to say that would be great, but I just don't know. It's been so challenging for so long. I just don't see how magically they've solved those problems, you know?
Right. And it sounds weird that it's 1 year apart.
Yeah, that's what I think kind of got people's attention, that like, oh, they're not just waiting another year. Like, why is it being taken off a year early?
Right.
They're paying a fee to do this.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I would love to see it on the service, but also, you ever wonder, like, I don't know how this one's going to hold up. Like, this was a very time and place game for me.
Yeah,
I don't know how I feel about playing it again now. Like, I don't know.
Is GoldenEye 007, I'm sure there's a lot of ROMs and everything, but is there some sort of form of it on Steam?
I don't think so. I think N64 is the only game only place you can play this. I don't think it ever got put anywhere else. So
it's not on like.
I actually see this being on Steam before Switch.
That I could see happening.
To be quite honest with you,
that I could see happening first.
Yeah,
I agree.
It could be possible. I mean, it could be something that does Rare still hold the rights, like the predominant rights to it?
That's where it gets so tricky, because it's Rare that publish, but it's a movie licensed game. It's like a mess. Like, it's a big
mess.
So that's why this thing has been such a mess for so long. So I don't know. I'm curious to see what happens.
It is, you know, very, you know, I think keen that somebody picked up on this and said, hey, that seems a little bit odd. Why did this happen? And kind of connecting it possibly to the Switch Online. It could be possible. I would be curious. I don't know if we would ever know if that's the reason, but it is something to keep an eye on for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad Kevin brought that up.
Yep.
All right, moving on. The Metroid Dread developer Mercury Steam announced, sort of, their next game. It's codenamed Project Iron. They're saying it's a third-person action RPG set in a dark fantasy world. The title will receive a multi-platform global release, and the project's initial development investment amounts to 27 million euros, which is like $33 million.
Mm-hmm. A little bit more,
I want to see them make more video games. They did a great job with Metroid Dread, so give them more leash. Let's see what they do. That's exciting.
They knocked it out of the park with Metroid Dread. Yeah. I would love to see them come up with their own, IP, I guess it would be, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Have they ever made a third-person game? Or third? I don't think so. I think they only made the Castlevania games and then the Metroid games.
Yeah,
so
I don't
So this will be their first original, quote, original IP. That's, I mean, they've done a good job with challenging properties that people love.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you could argue that an original IP is less daunting because people don't come into it with expectations. And they've already made quality, like, playable products. So
the only expectations they have is the quality of their other games that they have made. Yeah.
Right, and those are very, very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm very on board with seeing what they can do. So, yeah.
What I really like about Metroid Dread, and I guess it just follows the Metroid like level design, is just how well the flow of it is very direct.
Mm-hmm.
And I can just see that signature with Mercury Steam carrying over to this third person action RPG. I hope it's not an open world exploration, because what they're good at is directing you in a level in a sense.
Yeah.
So we'll see how this goes. XBS says Lords of Shadows third person, but I thought it was like 2D as well. I don't know. It's a lot of different things in there. So what are you about to say?
Yeah, I want to see what this game would look like just visually, because Metroid Dread is so beautiful, and I think they really nailed a lot of the environments in kind of like a dark setting. I think Dread obviously has that darker kind of obviously dreadful atmosphere to it. And so if they're talking about this dark fantasy world, I would love to see what they come up with.
Same.
So, big same. Excited about that.
Cool.
All right, let's move on to our delayed segment of the podcast. Unfortunately, Fall Guys for Switch was delayed again. Yeah. Originally, they said summer 2021. Then in August, they said 2021. Now it's no longer releasing in 2021 at all. Developer Mediatonic wanted to clarify this because the game's sixth season is approaching, and they did not want people to be like, oh, is it releasing on Switch? And Xbox, I think, is also coming with the sixth season. They wanted to squash any kind of rumors with that. They said they will share more details in 2022. And just a reminder that the first delay was to add crossplay with other consoles. Right. So I don't know if they're having trouble with that, if they're trying to add more things. It's really a shame. I feel like I was so excited about this game when it first released, and then I got a little bit more excited when it was announced for Switch, and I don't know, has that ship sailed?
I think the ship might have sailed, and that's kind of a bummer. I know there are people who are still playing Fall Guys, but and there will be a resurgence whenever it hits Switch. It'll happen, but like you missed the you big missed the boat on this. Yeah. Like that game
really
took like everybody by storm, and if they had had a Switch version ready to go up front, it would have been real smart, because this thing would have crushed on a handheld console
within like a month or two or three at most. Yeah,
whatever Sony licensed for the amount of time where it was exclusive, which was probably something like 6 months or maybe even a year. But if they had just been ready to announce it and shadow drop it, that would have been so much better. Now this lead time, it's like, I'm done, I'm good with this game. You know,
the only way I can see myself actually playing this on Switch is if they make it free to play with Switch Online.
Yes.
Which I would jump into it. I would jump into it then.
If they could, and they could do that, or this would be a good candidate for expansion pack justification.
Yes.
Like, give it to us.
Absolutely.
That. Mm-hmm. Then obviously, I'll totally play it again. But otherwise, I think I'm good.
Yeah.
I wonder how well it's going to run on the Switch, to be quite honest with you.
Maybe that's what they're having trouble with.
That's what I wonder. That's what I'm guessing. Yeah.
And seeing how they're going to scale it. Man, Fall Guys was such a big thing for like a month.
It really was.
It was huge.
Dropped.
And you know what made people try it was the fact that it was free for PlayStation Plus. It was no risk for people to try it and jump into it. And I feel like that is vital nowadays for that type of massive game where you have to have 99 people join it. Like, it would take forever to find a party if it were just, you know, the small indie studio where hardly anyone's heard of it. So
yeah
it's a shame, because I like that game.
I do too. I want to play more of it, but and it would be really fun if like everybody had access to it because it was Switch Online, you know what I mean? Then all my kids could play and it would be great. So
yeah, also delayed, which is maybe more or less sad, I don't know. The GTA trilogy, the physical edition for the Switch, has also been delayed. It was supposed to release with the other consoles on December 7th. It's coming to the other consoles on December 17th, I want to say, but not the Switch.
Okay.
It's pushed back to early 2022. So all those issues and stuff, I guess they're still fixing up. I don't know. The physical edition will come later.
I feel like the 117 bug fixes, and they're throwing the Xbox Series X and the PS5 at it, and they still have problems. Like, the Switch version is probably not running great. It's probably not. So,
probably not
running great. They might. This might be because whatever they're doing to patch it is causing the file sizes to exceed whatever cartridge they had initially bookmarked.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think it already did say download required to begin with. Right. So
I don't know.
It's going to be a bigger download.
Have they decided to put it on the cart now? You know what I mean?
Can
are they making that kind of change? They could.
Right.
They could. Because now they're pushing it back far enough that they could get bigger carts.
Okay. You
know, do they put like two or one game on the cart and then the rest of the games are downloadable? I think that's how like a lot of people do it.
Resident Evil did that with like the 4, 5, 6 collection that they released. I think 4 was on the cart, and then you would download 5 and 6 or something like that. Usually one of them is on the cart and the others you download. So see.
So they probably decided, hey, this one or GTA 3 probably is on the
three
cart.
Is probably
the
on the
rest is
cart.
Downloadable.
Yeah. Yep.
And so all the fixes that they're doing right now, it's like, well, we're going to have to push this into the cart, too. We're just going to delay manufacturing and then...
Yeah, and I wonder if there's an issue getting carts. There's a million things that this could be due to, right? But, like, this should have never come out in the state it was out in anyway. They should have just waited till they were ready to drop it, and it was not a quality control nightmare, but...
I will literally never forgive Rockstar for ruining my fantasy critic team. I will literally never forgive them.
Big
ever.
Salty. Big salty. Love that.
I'm very salty. All right.
As you should.
Instead of talking about games getting delayed, Garrett, why don't you tell us about some JRPGs that are coming?
Yeah, so we got some older JRPG titles coming to the Switch. First up is 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim from Sega Atlas, announced for the Switch, and it's coming in April 2022. It is a Vanillaware game. I love those guys. I love their games. They normally come out on Vita and PS4. This game was actually originally developed for Vita. They scrapped it, and they only released it on PS4 last year.
Yep.
I played it for like an hour or so. Very nice storytelling game with some turn-based action, some time traveling in there. Heard it's a very, very good time. So Switch players, if you're looking for turn-based RPG that has really great story, mm-hmm. this one you need to pay attention to for sure.
Yep.
And then the second one is the DaHack GU Games Last Recode from Bandai Namco, announced for the Switch coming March 2022. This originally came out on PC and PS4 in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And what this game is, it's they're actually a culmination of three JRPGs back in the PS2 days. They're just typical action JRPGs, and then they have this fourth exclusive game on this recode. So there you go.
Exciting.
More JRPGs coming to the Switch. Very exciting to see.
It's been a good period for JRPGs on Switch, I think. 2021 yes. was awesome yeah. for JRPGs on Switch.
And they've reviewed well, and they've run sure. well, and they've been like quality releases when they've come out, and the DaHack games will be a great addition to like on-the-go gaming. Like, these are great. This is exciting. And mm-hmm. 13 Sentinels is beautiful. Like, it's a Vanillaware.
Oh, it's great.
Gorgeous art game, and I'm really excited more people will get access to it.
Yeah, so keep on the lookout for those guys. And there's so many JRPGs coming out next year. It's ridiculous.
Yes.
Like, if you thought this year was good, next year it's like, oh my gosh.
It's crazy.
Like,
it's great. It's very exciting.
I'm having
and they're so long.
Here.
How do you find time to beat all of these games?
We don't.
Yeah, that's the secret. We don't.
We play them for like a few hours and we go, this is beautiful. And if it doesn't hook you right away, you're like, I got to stop and play something else. So.
Oh, man. So I have a list for Game of the Year. I have one list of my personal Games of the Year, and then my second list is games that I totally dropped out, but I totally need to go
yes,
back to.
Yes, I have one of those. A good list. I have one of those, year. Too. It's been a rough year.
And there's a lot of RPGs.
Garrett, why don't you take this next story, too? Because you wrote this, right?
I wanted to pitch this out. This is not an article or anything. I just kind of like gathering my thoughts around this because I think it's interesting coming from Nintendo Shack standpoint. So I said there is this Switch handheld like renaissance going on now. It's starting. I thought about this because actually yesterday, Qualcomm, a company, a mobile chip company, is partnering with Razer to unveil this new device called the G3X Developer Kit or whatever. But basically, it's a chipset to make mobile handheld devices. They're emphasizing on streaming games and then playing really good on the mobile game market as well. So we got that coming out. We have the Steam Deck coming out next year or really, really soon to early impressions. So we got that. We got Game Pass xCloud streaming on our phones. We got the Razer Kishi. And then Sony now has this patent on these extended controllers. And of course, with our Retroid Pocket 2s, we got emulation devices now. I feel like all of this is coming down to is like the Switch kind of proved that people like handheld gaming in a sense. They like to be on the go. A little bit. I think it kind of started, and then probably like after a year or so, little pockets of these devices are coming out and getting a little bit inspired. I think the streaming is a little different than what we're seeing on the Switch,
yeah.
But it's the same form factor. You got a handheld with mm-hmm. you with the device right in front of you. I'm just wondering what you guys' thoughts about all of these different devices popping up with these different companies taking these different approaches. Streaming, not streaming, mobile devices, or even just a handheld gaming device.
So
what do you guys think?
Obviously, handheld gaming isn't new by any means. Nintendo had right. so many handheld devices. We even saw Sony, you know, with the PSP and the Vita and whatnot, kind of taking after that. I feel like in every sense throughout Nintendo's history, they've kind of acted as trailblazers for other companies. Like, they were the first to do motion control. They were the first to do VR, in a sense. Like, they really are the ones who start this, and then other companies kind of come along and perfect it. And while they have been having handhelds throughout their entire history, I think we can all agree that they really hit gold in a way with the Switch that while we love the 3DS, we love the Game Boy Advance, we loved all of those, the Switch really pushed a lot of those limits. And I think people are saying, oh, wow, like you can really do this with a handheld console. You can do that. And I feel like that acted as a lot of inspiration for these companies and seeing, you know, people are into this.
I think the pandemic did a good thing for this as well, because there were so many people home in one place, right? So you started to see the situation where like people could be playing on the Switch and then grownups could be using the TV for TV shows, or other people could be, you know? So it eliminated the need to have a TV per person playing a video game. And I think that has accelerated Switch sales. Animal Crossing helped with that, right? So then these other companies are looking at all those sales and going, oh, there's a market for this. So I wonder if that artificially accelerated this, and we're going to see the bottom drop out after all these devices release. I'm curious to see how that goes, because it could go either way. This could hit and everybody could be successful, or Nintendo just had the right device at the right point in time with the right game, and that's why it looks so much more successful, like artificially inflated. You know what I mean? Like the Switch is great, but the pandemic definitely accelerated their sales in a way that no one was expecting it to. So I'm curious to see how this all shakes out in the next like 1 to 2 years.
Yeah. That's an interesting thought about the pandemic. I really think even before the pandemic, the Switch, like I feel like in our show, in our community, is like, wow, the Switch is successful.
Absolutely, yes.
And it's a handheld gaming device.
Yeah.
And Sony said, like, no, we're done.
Sony was
Vita
done.
Sony was so done with it.
And I don't think the Steam Deck just started development after the pandemic.
No. I don't think
so. They were thinking of this long before that.
Absolutely, yes. I don't think any of this started during it. I wonder if these companies aren't leaning into it even more just because they've seen how successful Nintendo has
been.
Very
possible.
And it's extra, you know? It's sad to me for Sony, because I actually think the Vita was such a quality device. And one could really argue that Sony kind of blazed the first trail there, and it just wasn't the right time and place. But they've had so much third-party support for the Vita, so it's sad, like, almost, because I love that little thing.
Yeah.
I love it so much.
Yeah, me too. Well, Sony is, of course, going to try to chase after something.
Sure.
And I think that it's smart to do it like this streaming-like kind of way. We see it with Xbox and other, like Nvidia as well, trying to do these streaming games. It's not a huge market in, let's say, the US, but over in East, let's say Korea and Japan and China, it's gonna be a massive market, unbelievably massive market. So it's smart to go that route, I think, for those companies. And for Valve, I think it's smart to do a handheld device that kind of coincides with their ecosystem. And they have the boutique, they have the resources, they know the specs, they know the price too, which I was very surprised about, like how cheap that was. Even though it's almost double the price for the biggest model, still $400 for a Steam Deck.
That's
pretty good.
That's very affordable.
That's pretty good.
Especially considering how much of the library they're trying to certify. So we'll see.
This is cheaper than any PC you'll get.
Yeah,
I also think we should fail to mention how big the handheld market is in Japan, especially.
Yes.
You were talking about that, Garrett. There's a lottery. There was when the Switch released, just to buy a Switch because there were so many people that wanted one. They had to have lotteries in the country because not everybody could buy one.
Yeah.
So everybody has, you know, their own Switch there. And I think you're right. They can tap into this market that is just getting so popular. I'm glad that you added this to our show notes, because I don't think it will be the end of it. I think we will see a lot more of this pop up, whether it sticks.
I'm curious to see if it sticks. That's what I want to see.
It almost makes me nervous that other people are getting in on it, because as soon as other people get in on it, Nintendo does something entirely different, and I want this to stick.
I think they're too, they've got Breath of the Wild 2 to deal with first, so you shouldn't get too nervous before they've got Metroid Prime 4, theoretically, Bayonetta 3, and Breath of the Wild 2 before they dump out of this market. So you got some time.
don't want anything but a hybrid console from now on.
I love this. I really like what Nintendo has done here. I think it's special.
Yeah. I don't want it to be just handheld either, though. If they made like a just handheld for their next one, like while I like the 3DS, I also value being able to play it on the TV, to be able to stream it, things like that.
Yep, agree.
Definitely agree with that.
Were you going to add one more thing, Garrett?
Sparking some debate here. I'm really glad to see all of these different companies. I just like competition. Of course, Nintendo's leading the charge. They have the exclusives. They have the cool hybridness of their console. And like, you don't see this in any other company. Steam Deck. Steam Deck, they say, oh, you could dock it. You could put it on a monitor. It's like, how many people are going to do that?
No.
Absolutely.
You
no
would
one.
Just have.
I mean, like,
you would just have Steam.
You would have a big computer. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So.
But about the competition part, like I hope that it is Nintendo's plan to stick with this hybrid model and that they get a little bit of pressure from these other guys to not just settle for like the lowest specs and just what they normally do here. Okay. So you're right. That competition is very good for them.
So
yeah,
see how it goes.
I like that. And then to wrap up our news segment, just a reminder, Big Brain Academy, Brain vs. Brain is out tomorrow on Friday. It's sitting at a nice 72 on Metacritic and OpenCritic. Some common themes from reviews say it is great for co-op, doesn't have a lot of options for single player to keep you coming back for weeks, though. There are a lot of there are high quality puzzles, but a low quantity of things to do. So it's a lot of quality over quantity here. If you're thinking about getting it single player, maybe pass on it. But if you have other people to play it with and challenge yourself, maybe kids, maybe friends, cousins, brothers, sisters, it could be a good pick for Christmas holiday. I don't know.
For the kids, probably, for the kids. Or for like a party. It seems like a party game.
Kind of. I want to pick it up to see. Yeah. I definitely, it's on my list of things to do. I don't know if I'll get around to it this week, but I do want to check it out with the kids. That would be fun.
I think for someone like you, Elaine, this is a perfect game.
There's so many people in my house half the week. It's like, let's check it out, you know? So
this would not be a good game for me. I have nobody who would play this with me.
me neither.
But yes, excuse me. All right, so before we get into this week's questions, I'm losing my voice here, I'm sorry.
Yeah, drink some water.
Yep.
Do what you need to do.
I'm also just not able to talk today. I don't
know.
Yes, keep caffeinating. We didn't think we had a whole lot of news before the Paper Mario news dropped, so I called out to the community for all your best questions, and you always come through, but oh my gosh, this week you really came through. We have 15 questions here. If we don't get through all of them, we will save some for next week. I know all three of us are like brain fried tonight. We'll keep going until we're kind of at a point. Maybe we'll get through all of them. I don't know, but if we don't get to your question, we will save it for next week, but we are going to start with the questions that were submitted on Discord and then go to the ones that were submitted on Twitter. Mm-hmm. But really good questions this week, guys. So before we get into today, I just wanted to congratulate you and thank you for all of the amazing questions. Kill it all the time.
Yes.
All right. Starting us off, Brolin writes in and says, what do you think Nintendo will title the Breath of the Wild sequel? Will it be a completely different title or simply titled Breath of the Wild Part 2? Give us your best guesses, and we might find out at the Game Awards next week.
I feel like they just sequel this. It was so big and it was so major. I feel like they just go with it. That's my guess. I could be completely wrong, but like this was such a huge thing. I feel like they're gonna ride right off that energy. They're gonna pick it up.
It does have that brand recognition.
It does. I think they're gonna go with two. That's my guess.
That sounds good. I think it'll have breath in it, but it's gonna be a like different ending phrase than Breath of the Wild. I'm they're gonna try to connect it somehow.
I'm gonna go the opposite route of you and say it's gonna be something of the wild.
Oh, interesting.
That's probably better.
All right, we've covered everything now.
Demon of
it's
the wild.
It's gonna be like ruins of the wild, or I don't know. Actually, that sounds horrible.
It's gonna be none Link of these of things wild. Now, and it's just gonna be.
I don't know. I think when they announced Breath of the Wild's name, I actually saw it leaked on Reddit like 15 minutes before the presentation, that E3 presentation where they revealed it. And I said, oh my God, that is the fakest leak ever. That does not sound like something they would title it. I'm like, this person is so dumb trying to come up. Like, why would they come up with something so ridiculous sounding? And then when it was revealed to be Breath of the Wild, I was like, oh, Nintendo, that was a correct leak.
Nintendo is not great at the naming of things, so I guess we'll see. They're not great.
I don't know. The only thing that I don't want them to do is to have it be The Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, a third subtitle.
Oh, yeah, I don't like that.
Like, that would be too much, like, way too many acronyms.
Agree. Just give me a two if you're going to do that. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sorry we didn't come up with anything more creative, Brolin.
we're very tired.
People are coming up with very entertaining things in chat, though.
Yeah, they are.
I'm liking it. Yep. Yeah.
Can I read some of them real quick?
Breath of the Skies,
Revenge of Demise, Skies of the Wild, Breath of the Suburbs, Hovik says.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
We have some gag answers.
We're going
answers
more in
here.
The city now.
Yeah.
Wand of Gamelon 2.
So dumb.
Breath of the Sky is a good one. Because there could be something in the sky. You're right. I forgot.
Breath Too Wild is very,
I like that.
Very good.
Too big. Too wild.
Whenever I get a Fast and the Furious 10. Reference, I'm pumped. That was great. Thank you.
All right. Good Brendan stuff. Wants to know, what are some of your top choices of Nintendo gifts to give to a gamer? Holiday season is coming. What do you get the Nintendo fan in your life?
Like getting like hats or like, you know, winter beanie, or even just like the codes for the Nintendo online. I like to do that stuff like that.
That's,
you know,
good safe gift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm boring.
So what are is it just a general Nintendo gift, like Nintendo related gift?
That's the way I read it. I don't know.
I would say their favorite franchise and just get them any kind of merchandise. If they love Zelda, get them a t-shirt, get them a mug, get them socks. If they like Metroid.
Go on Etsy. Okay. Ooh. And search for like the favorite franchise. Because I have enamel pins that people have made. I have like these etched pint glasses that have like the Samus Metroid logo on it that I've picked up. I think Bex, you and I were together when I grabbed one.
Yeah.
I was like, Etsy is great for this stuff. Super fun.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Or if you know a game that they've been, a game that they've been thinking about getting, get them the game, get them an eShop card. They will always spend it.
Yep.
I'll be happy with it.
Mm-hmm. Your TPR says you're stuck in a room with Mario, Link, and Samus. You can only save two. One must meet their maker. Mario maker, pun intended. Who are you letting go and why?
Mario.
Yeah, Mario's got to go.
It's absolutely Mario.
Yeah, Mario's getting killed here.
Sorry, Mario.
Luigi can replace him.
That's
like,
true.
That simple.
Arguably the better brother. Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, You got Samus and Link, irreplaceable. Mario, it's super replaceable. You got Wario, you got Luigi, you got Toad.
Yep.
You could jump around in those levels.
If you're stuck in a room with them, though, Link and Samus aren't really going to say much. They're going to be pretty silent.
No.
But that's fine.
Pretty much.
They have cool weapons. And
I can look at their beautiful faces.
They've got armor to look at.
They are objectively more beautiful than Mario.
That's a valid point. Mario's got a sick mustache, but not everybody's into that. Okay? Not everybody's into that.
I don't want that Chris Pratt Italian-American accent.
Oh, I can't unsee it. No, let's... All right, we're done. This is where this discussion ends.
It's-a-me, Mario.
Oh. No. He said he's not going to do the traditional accent for Mario, so I am very concerned.
Yeah.
I have worries.
That's why I said Mario.
Mario.
That's the Italian-American
accent.
I don't like that.
Right.
I don't like that.
I don't like it at all. No.
Okay. This question from Hobie feels a little personal. I'm going to read it. It's kind of long.
Okay.
It's that time of year where everyone is gaming merrily in the new old-fashioned way. I sat down on one of these crisp winter evenings recently to fill out a survey posted by one of my favorite Twitch streamers about their streaming content and community. That streamer is me.
I knew it.
One of the survey questions was about retro gaming, and explicitly defined retro as any game released in 2005 or before. My brain broke when I thought about Mario Strikers being defined as retro. Upon recovery, I got to thinking about something that I've never really pondered before. What makes a game retro? Is this defined by a certain number of years passing since a game's release? Is there a certain style or feel a game has to be retro? How does Shaq define retro games?
I feel personally.
I'm very sorry, Hobiek and Elaine and everybody else who is wanting to strangle me right now for defining it as 2005 or before. I went 15, like I was thinking roughly 15 years.
Cool.
Well, I feel like personally attacked.
Y'all have to realize that games have to be defined as retro eventually.
You're right.
And I feel like we've been calling like NES and SNES games retro and haven't moved on from that.
Xbox 360 games are retro now.
N64 and even GameCube games are as old as NES and SNES games were when we started calling those retro.
In my brain, it's 20 years.
That's true.
That's what it is in my brain. Like, that's the sliding.
20 years is
20
good.
Years is where my brain lives, because that's the point at which you would no longer... Here's my definition. My definition is, and GameStop's kind of screwed me on this, but you would not be able to walk into a GameStop and just buy games from that generation easily. That's
correct.
My general definition of where it becomes retro, and I feel like two console generations removed from where we are now is kind of where you land. On that.
Yeah.
Right?
I did, after Hobiek submitted this question, I did Google it to defend myself, hoping that I would find an answer consistent to what I said. Unfortunately, I did not. Wikipedia says that the nostalgia cycle for retro typically is two decades that are 20 to 30 years before the current one.
Right. So yeah,
it's a little
20
bit
years.
More than my 15 years. Yeah, 20 to 30 years. But I think I definitely do align with what you said, Elaine. So two before, so not the Wii U, not the Wii, but the GameCube.
Yeah, the GameCube at this point is definitely like what I would say is retro. 20 years in my head is like where my brain stops the ride.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
So Halo 1 is a retro.
Absolutely
game.
Is. I played it when I played it when I was 19 and had all four of my wisdom teeth out. It's retro. I'm old. We all know where I stand.
I played it when I was 6. Yeah.
I quit the show.
Yeah, I still want to say 15, but I think most people would agree with 20.
Yep.
Elaine, you should have seen my hands with the Duke controller.
Dude, the Duke.
It was just,
I own in boxes actually sitting close
so bad.
To me. The Xbox One redos of the Duke.
Yeah.
I bought them because, like, reasons.
Oh my
I love
goodness.
The Duke. Love the Duke.
The white light. I remember it was like, hey, press the white light button. And I literally had to move my
hand.
The
white and black buttons. Like, that controller was so good. I have really long, like, fingers for my size. So the Duke feels really comfortable for me just because of the way that I'm, like, hands are big.
Yeah.
Fingers, long fingers.
Whew, that was a controller.
I love the Duke.
Let me tell you. Anyways. That's a retro controller.
It is, and I still love it. God, I'm old.
God, soon we're going to be calling, like, the Wii and Wii U retro. Someday the Switch is going to be retro. Like,
it's hard to buy Wii games.
That's
like,
a
local game store, and they actually go all the way back to SNES games. But, like, the Wii games, I mean, they have a good library, but not much.
Yeah.
And then there's some that are pretty expensive.
There's a lot of garbage on the Wii.
I read a thing today or yesterday or sometime recently, and I wish I remember who tweeted this because I feel like it was somebody that we know. They said that teenagers now are like the first generation here that don't remember a gaming time that didn't have motion controls.
I don't like this conversation.
When they were born, 2005, 2006. Motion controls existed and they don't remember. They didn't exist in a time when you had to plug in and not have motion.
There's a conversation to be had, which I'm now like the touch stuff, like tablets that have touch screens.
Yeah, the touch.
My kids don't like they interact with almost everything with a screen by trying to touch. Because that's just
and they get confused if it's not a touch screen.
Yeah, so like it's kind of wild, like that kind of stuff, those kinds of conversations. Mm-hmm. Like the DS, like everything forward has had touch, you know, phones, tablets. So yeah, there's that too, and it's just that's very crazy.
Mm-hmm.
We're aging rapidly, kids. We're aging rapidly.
Very rare to see. Retro.
Oh, man. The viewer in chat says, Pants McPants says, I'm sure there were some two-year-olds who have fond memories of Wii Bowling. Wii Bowling is going to be a nostalgic retro game for somebody someday. It probably already,
it already is for some people. Absolutely. I'm
so bizarre. So bizarre. We're old.
I was listening to a recent Giant Bomb cast episode. I remember one of the guys, his son, he's like probably, I forgot how old the son was, but like, he was born after the Wii.
Yeah.
And like, he was just introduced to the Wii in Thanksgiving. It's like, I never knew about this remote control and Wii Sports and having so much fun with that. We don't have something like that with Switch, and I wish we did. Like, some sort of, like, built-in sports game.
No.
Or of some kind with motion control. Like the Wii Sports was super fun. I played so much that game.
It was, starting out. It was a sensation. Yeah. And G-Man brings up a good point. WarioWare Twisted and Kirby Tilt and Tumble were examples of motion controls before Wii came about.
Yep.
I think it was one of the earliest instances of motion control for any company.
I think you're right. But there wasn't, like, prevalent. You got one or two. You just
It was literally two games.
It wasn't in everything, like, it kind of has become. And then it was pulled back, so.
Yep. Yes, so I'm very sorry, Hobie. I like it, though. I like that question. Frandroid VVM wants to know, who is the most difficult boss you have ever faced in a video game?
I have two answers to this question. I broke a controller because of one of them.
Oh, let's hear it.
So this was back when I owned a PlayStation 2. I lived in my first apartment and I was playing Devil May Cry 3, the original release, not the special edition that had the difficulty adjusted. And I had played through the game multiple times and I was playing it on the hardest difficulty. And the final boss, fighting Virgil, I got really close to beating him. He wiped me out. I stood up and spiked my controller right into the ground and walked out of the room. Just I said nothing. I didn't curse. I didn't scream. I walked out. Sat down in the other room for a couple minutes. I came walking back in. I picked up the controller to do it again, and it was like rattling on the inside. Like I unplugged it. I put it in a box. Oh, no. I plugged in my backup controller, and I beat that guy eventually. That's up there. The other one is Nyx, the final boss in Persona 3. That was brutal.
Oh yeah.
The original FES release of Persona 3, not the Persona 3 portable where you could direct control the party. In the FES release, you couldn't. You could give them like your attack, your heal, but you couldn't. And so like Mitsuru kept trying to charm the boss. It was bad. It was a bad scene. And I got frustrated. So those are my two. I got big frustrated.
Yeah, I wish I thought of this question a bit more. The one game that popped up that I've really struggled with, and I wish I didn't struggle as much, but it was actually Fire Emblem Three Houses, and I put it on classic and hard mode, so that's why I kind of put it was a little bit more challenging. But I remember the final boss for that, those levels, oh my goodness, on if you don't want any of your characters to die, it's so stressful. And I'm like, I don't want to play a Fire Emblem game like this I think again. And probably in the next go around, I'll like knock it down a level or two, and put on casual mode, because when I think of back at that game, I really liked it. I really liked the story and everything and the bosses in there. But man, I just did not have as much good of a time in that game the way I played it. I know I wanted to challenge myself, but it just wasn't fun.
Yeah, I just don't have the patience for that stuff anymore. Yeah,
me neither. Wargroove is a similar thing. Wargroove is a tile-based, turn-based tactics game. It's really fun. It's just, it gets to the point where it's just so tedious. And it just goes on and on and on and on. And those bosses are hard as well. I just think of games that are tedious to me. That are just these are hard, not satisfying, not gratifying in any sense, but just tedious.
Makes sense. I don't, so Anybody who watches my streams can probably think of the example that I thought of for this. I don't know if it's the hardest boss that I have ever played, but it is the one that comes to mind for me, because I have not been able to continue in this game because I still have not beat this boss. I was playing Illusion of Gaia, and there's a boss halfway through the game. It's not even a hard boss, but for some reason, I cannot do it. It's, if anyone has played it, it's the boss with the two vampires, and the room is kind of set up like a Bomberman style room where like you can only move in like an up and down grid, so your movement is limited to start with, and there's two vampires and they move around this room shooting things at you, and you have to be able to dodge them, the, you know, their attacks and whatnot, and they have a whole bunch of different attacks, and they're hard to avoid, and it's hard to get close enough to them, especially because there's two of them. Not to mention, the whole boss battle is timed, so you're under a time limit because your friend they have captured has like a ticking time bomb on him, and if you don't beat them fast enough, he dies and then you lose. So I tried it so hard. I like had to go back and try to upgrade all of my stuff to come back and try again, and I still wasn't able to do it. It's like not even a hard boss. There's just something about that particular one that I just haven't been able to beat. As soon as I go back to Illusion of Gaia, I'm having a friend beat that part of the game for me and then send me his save file just for the sake of progressing in it, because I don't think I could ever beat this.
Yeah.
It is my own personal struggle that I don't think anybody else had a hard time with this boss but me.
I feel that though. Mm. Sometimes it's just like it doesn't work for your brain. You know what I mean? It's like some people aren't wired to do math. Some people are not wired to do certain boss fights. Yeah. I totally understand. Totally get it.
Yeah, but I don't know. Last year I played a lot of Super Nintendo games, and there were a lot of hard bosses in general from that console. So I overcame all of them except for that one. let's see here. And cut me off when you guys want to stop, because we're like a third of the way through the questions. West3DP says, have you watched the cutscenes from Age of Calamity's DLC? I know none of us have played that. I don't really... He tells us what happens. You get to see something with Link and Zelda. I'm not going to spoil what that is for the people who haven't played it yet. I have not watched the cutscenes, but honestly, I'm never going to go back and play that DLC, so I might go watch the cutscenes.
I might do exactly that, because I even asked my kids, because my kids both played the game to completion, and I was like, do you want the DLC? And both of my kids are like, nah, we're good. So I might just watch the cutscenes with them. I might do that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do the same just to get that little bit of lore.
Yep.
Sounds good.
Gabs says, when playing Switch in handheld mode, what's the ideal setup? Crawled in bed, sofa blankets on, kitchen, the swing? I've never played on the... Oh, I played on a hammock.
I played in a hammock. I like laying in bed with a bunch of pillows behind me, blankets on my legs, and playing Tetris 99. That's how I handheld on my Switch.
Nice.
I'm in either two places, either in bed before I actually go to sleep, I'll play it, until I get too tired that I'm going to fall asleep, or I'll be down on my couch with the TV on watching something. Or
yeah, I do that too.
Letting somebody else watch something while I play something with headphones.
Yep. Nice.
With blankets, of course. Lots of blankets and coffee.
All the blankets, yes.
Definitely. I'm pretty boring. I actually go to my computer chair a lot, and like I like to watch things on my monitor as I play handheld, or I just lay down on the couch too as well. But I can't really do it because you have to like twist your body to like look at the TV screen and look at the Switch. I like having background noise as I'm doing something.
Same.
On the Switch. That's Same. Why I love handheld stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I have to move a lot on my couch if I do that, but it's super easy for me. I'm on a computer chair, and I'm watching a stream, and I'm just playing my little Switch right here. It's just like, I know people are like, why aren't you having a second monitor here? You can have a controller. It's like, no, it's not the same thing. I got to have it in my hands and just go back and forth.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
That's how I play it.
You also, I don't know if you take your Switch on the go with you, Yara, but I know that you play like on the bus and stuff, your Retroid Pocket, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever take your Switch?
I mean, I used to, but I don't with OLED.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
I'm afraid to bring that around. And I really just don't have time to like go into like a play session with Switch. I do bring my Vita and Retro Pocket 2 everywhere with me. I've been playing Tales of Hearts R and Good Advance
game.
Wars.
Good games. Good
choices. When I can. Nice. Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Pete the Smiling Stegosaurus says, what is your favorite SNES game that was not made by either Nintendo or Square? Because I think a lot of us, when we think of our favorite SNES games, we do think of Nintendo or Square.
Super, good question. Super Street Fighter 2. I played a lot of Super Street Fighter 2, specifically Super. I liked the new challengers, like the extra characters, and that's Capcom joint, obviously, and I played probably hundreds of hours of Super Street Fighter 2 on SNES. If it wasn't Earthbound, Metroid, all the top, like those big games, it would be that one.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one.
I think I have two answers. So I really love Top Gear.
Oh, man.
I don't know if you've ever heard of that game.
Wow, Top Gear.
This was one of my childhood games. This was my first ever racer. It's probably still one of my favorite. It's my favorite racer if you don't count Mario Kart.
Sure.
It has the best soundtrack. It's just so fun. I don't know. I love Top Gear. I've always loved it. Just childlike. Love it. I have such a nostalgia attachment to it. And then played more recently for the first time. SimCity is just so relaxing and fun to go to. And I bought a physical copy of it recently, and it's very good.
It's a great
paved the way for a lot of really great simulation games.
That it was a great sim game on the SNES. Like I really enjoyed that big time. Yep.
Simple and straightforward and a lot to do.
Agree.
Yeah. Nice.
Do you have any, Garrett?
Okay, so there's, well, I really only had Nintendo games with my SNES. There was one game that was not Nintendo, not made by Square Enix. I forgot it was what it was called. I just remember it was, you were managing a desert helicopter and like up at the top, and you had to like shoot down all the enemies up top, but also this enemy soldiers at the bottom, and then you had to rescue hostages all around the map. It was like,
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's wild.
I would have to look it up.
Somebody will. Some listener will know.
Someone will know. Write in. Tell us on Twitter.
Yes. Tweet it at us.
Yeah, it was some Desert Storm Operation helicopter game.
Wild.
That it was pretty good, actually. I went through a lot of levels of that game, and I thought it was really fun because you had to manage all of these different things in one level.
XPS wants to know, is it Desert Strike?
Oh, that could be it. That could be.
I mean, that sounds right.
We have great listeners.
I would have to look
at listeners. That's a good question. I like
that. I also want to give a shout out to Evo Search for Eden, which I have not finished, but I really enjoyed what I played of it, and it counts because it was developed by Enix, not Square.
Not Square. Nice. Nice. Okay.
Before that big ol' merge. Yes, very good question. Are we good to keep going?
Let's do two more. How do we feel about two more?
Two more, then we'll get
Desert Strike.
Desert Strike.
Then we'll have 10, then we'll save the rest for next week.
Yeah, that seems fair, because we're probably, it's going to be weird news for the next couple weeks because of, the end of the year. So yeah, two more. That's my vote.
Andrew says, if you could work on a video game franchise, which one would it be and what would you do?
This is hard. I don't...
None.
Do we... Are Goodness. We working, like, is this realistic where, like, we have a small part in the development, or is this, like, we can do whatever we want to make this game how we want it?
I mean, this is our podcast. Let's be fantastical, right? Let's do whatever we want. I would like to... Boy, this is hard, actually. This is
really fixing Pokemon.
Wow,
Bex. Whoa. Woo! Dang, Rebecca's coming in.
Damn, girl.
We're fixing all the problems it has.
I would love to work on a Metroid game. I would love to sit down in rooms and map out like interlocking levels and how power-ups would get used later. And I think it would be so cool to sit down with like a table of graph paper and just map out a game. You know, like that would be so cool.
Nice.
That's what I would want to do.
If I had unlimited funds.
All the money.
Star Fox.
Oh, yeah.
Could be totally... Yeah. Like that franchise is like the games, like one or two of them were great. The rest were just
that's a good one to do. Yeah,
we need a very, very good Starbucks game, and I think there is one.
You're just gonna have to make it in VR to see how many people you can get to hurl. So
that's true.
Yeah,
that's a good one. I would just love like a Mass Effect type of
That's what Star Fox needs. That would be really
cool. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
That RPG-ness in exploration. Oh, it would be so good.
Okay, I've changed my answer because I don't think I could fix Pokemon. I want to get on the Zelda development team and make my Zelda Dungeon Maker game the exact way that I want it to be.
I love that. I love the sound.
With everything, all these ideas that I have in my head about Zelda Dungeon Maker, I want to make that game.
That would be rad. That would be so cool. Mm-hmm. I want that badly. Yep.
All right, and this is actually a very good question to end on. Zell Daniel wants to know our favorite winter levels in games. They say the Snow Kingdom from Super Mario Odyssey is definitely one of my favorites.
I liked the snow levels in Mario 64 a lot.
Me
too. I really liked the Penguin Race. Okay, it was cute. And
classic.
I enjoyed it.
Very
I'm trying
cute.
To think if there were any other. I don't generally like winter levels or water levels. They both piss me off, usually. But
I really like winter Mario. Levels, actually.
The slipping.
Yeah.
The slipping.
Me too. Slipping. That's true. It's the slipping. But there's some coziness.
I like ice physics.
Oh, boy. You guys are masochists. I don't want to
slide. Give me, like, some hot chocolate, and I would play a winter level. Mario Kart 64 has a great winter levels there. Diamond and Pearl.
Oh, yeah?
I really enjoyed that winter level.
The city there?
Yeah. The city there and the gym. I remember that gym fondly, actually.
There's a snow level in Katamari Damacy where you roll up a big snowball and stuff. I loved that level. That was very cozy and lovely, and I really liked it a lot.
Nice.
One of my favorite areas in Metroid Prime is Findrana Drifts.
Mm-hmm.
The icy kind of wintry place there.
That was fun. Okay. That was cool because of the just loneliness associated with said ice. That was good. Very good.
Any, like, snow or icy dungeon or area in a Zelda game I really love. Like, the ice caverns in Ocarina of Time I love. Snowhead in Majora's Mask I love. One of my favorite dungeons ever is the Snowpeak in Twilight Princess.
That was I'll give you that one. That was a very good dungeon. That was a great game.
Yeah, they do good. I also, what's the one that... The Snow Kingdom and Shaveria Town, or Shaveria, whatever that one was called in Mario Odyssey, I really liked. Mm-hmm. With the little, what were those little guys called? The Shaverians, right?
They were cute. Yeah. Yes. Yep.
Yeah, I can probably think of more. I was just Googling some lists, but in general, I really do love snow and ice and winter levels. Very good. Very good. Good question to end on. Perfect. All right. If we didn't get to your question, we will save it for next week. We had a lot of really good ones this week. So thank you guys for pulling through with that in our time of need. All right. So that is going to do it for this week's show. It is a little shorter, but, you know, we've all had a day and a week.
Oh, God.
I think so. Next week.
But this has been good.
Next week during our show time is the Game Awards. So we will most likely record after like a day or two afterwards. Stay tuned. We'll let you know the exact time and date that we are going to record, but we won't be live during the show because we will be watching it.
Yeah.
A recap of that on that next episode, which, like I said, will probably likely be Friday, but we'll let you know for sure.
Probably Friday.
Yep. Probably Friday.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you guys for listening, and we will see you next week. Good night, Koopalings.